Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay and had a good weekend. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Monday, June the 2nd. Coming up, do you know who Kent's Police and Crime Commissioner is? We reveal just how much it costs for them to be elected. A new wildfire warning system has come into force in Kent, and an e-cigarette company boss chats about the new disposable vape ban. But first today, an incredibly sad story as tributes are paid to a young girl who died in the River Thames near Gravesend. She's been named on social media as Bia and described as a beautiful angel. Well, Kate joins me now with more on this. And Kate, a search was started on Friday.
That's right. Emergency crews, including the RNLI, were called to the river near Royal Terrace Pier just before 2 on Friday afternoon. They'd received reports of two children going into the water. A few hours later, it was revealed a boy, who's thought to be 7, had been pulled to safety and taken to hospital, but a girl was still missing. The search for the girl was suspended on Friday evening and resumed the following morning. Sadly, a body was recovered from the water shortly after.
And what have her family said?
Several messages have been posted on social media. Mirella Takana said this little girl had her whole life ahead of her, but she had the life that was decided by God. Smooth road to heaven, my niece. Another said, rest in peace, little angel Bia. May God comfort the grieving family.
And do we know much about the circumstances around what happened?
Well, it's understood Bia was playing with her cousin near the water when she slipped. Her death is not being treated as suspicious. The boy who was saved is understood to be in a stable condition in hospital. We've also heard from local MP Dr. Lauren Sullivan, who said she's deeply saddened by the news. She goes on to say that she sends her deepest condolences to the family and friends of the child and keeps them in her thoughts at this time.
Kate, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and a Sheerness man who threatened to kill his ex and carved her initials in her front door has been given a restraining order. Ciaran Morgan also shouted abuse at his former partner when he turned up at her address in February. The 31-year-old from Wood Street admitted criminal damage and possessing cocaine. A court's heard how a drunk man who was having a seizure punched a trainee paramedic in the face while she tried to help him in Chatham. Paul Gullen also damaged an ambulance door as they were on their way to hospital in April. The 55-year-old from Atlanta Court has been ordered to attend rehab sessions and pay compensation. Reform UK's first UK Doge team will visit Kent County Council today. The Elon Musk-inspired Department of Government Efficiency Task Force is designed to identify and cut wasteful spending. It's been suggested it could see cuts to diversity initiatives, net zero schemes, and staff could be forced to work from the office. Zia Yousaf is Reform UK chairman.
We are currently in a process. We've got some very good people going through all of the numbers inside the council. You know, all of our data on the councils has come from thousands of Freedom of Information requests. We have already started finding things.
Kent Online reports.
A Gravesend man's been ordered to wear an alcohol tag for 4 months after kicking and jumping on vehicles while drunk. The 20-year-old also used an offensive word to abuse a disabled police officer while being arrested in Cross Lane East last October. He'll have to do 20 rehab sessions and 80 hours of unpaid work. A repeat drink driver from Maidstone has been ordered to wear an alcohol monitoring tag for 4 months. Tiffany Ratton was found to be more than twice the legal limit after being pulled over by police on Station Road in February. The 35-year-old from Tunbridge Road has two previous convictions. She's been given a suspended sentence and a 3-year driving ban. Now, a family in Gravesend have been forced to evacuate their home after a fire broke out in their garden. Crews were called to Sandown Road just before midnight on Friday. It's believed to have started by a cooking tray that was left in a bin. It's prompted a warning from fire bosses about being careful around barbecues and pizza ovens. Elsewhere, 6 fire engines have been called to a blaze at a woodyard in Maidstone. Crews were called to the site in Harrietsham at around 4:30 yesterday afternoon. There have been no reports of any injuries and the cause is under investigation. Now, this all comes as we're being urged to be aware of the dangers of wildfires. Kent Fire and Rescue have introduced a new warning system this year. I've been chatting to Alan Standing, who's a group manager at Kent Fire and Rescue Service.
We have had a very dry spring and we are predicting, which is very good news for many people, a hot, dry summer. But that does bring an increased risk for wildfires for us in Kent Fire and Rescue Service and across the country. So we're urging the public really to be what we would call wildfire aware. And we will be publishing when the risk of a wildfire increases, we will be publishing that risk level on our social media feeds and on our website, and encouraging people to take preventative action to help us all keep safe while enjoying the lovely weather.
And obviously that's something new that you've decided to do. I remember a couple of years ago when we had record-breaking temperatures, you were out at a huge number of wildfires. Was it incidents like that that made you think that perhaps now is the time to increase that level of warning to people?
Absolutely. So since 2022, which is probably the year you're referring to there, Nicola, we've had 160 wildfires, and we know that 3/4 of those have been accidental. So 3/4 of those are absolutely preventable through being wildfire aware and considering things around how you might discard cigarettes if you're smoking, or using matches, maybe not having a bonfire waiting for the autumn months where it's a little cooler and perhaps a little damper. Do you really need to have a bonfire in your garden? Even littering, things like glass jars, glass bottles, through the strength when the sun is particularly hot, can magnify and start a wildfire without you knowing it. So there's a lot of things that we can do to prevent fires happening in the first place out in the open.
And how devastating can wildfires be?
They can damage crop, they can damage wildlife, and of course the biggest risk is when we have the outdoors and the crops and the wildfire meeting with our urban areas as well. So we do have a lot of places in our wonderful county where we have built up areas that are next to crops and woodland, etc. And that's where the big risk comes in, where we start introducing the hazard and risk of properties as well.
What's it like for fire crews if they're called out to wildfires? Because they've got their full kit on, it's already incredibly hot, then they're having to tackle a fire.
Yeah, unquestionably, they are hard, arduous work, but we're prepared, we're trained, and we've got outstanding equipment to help us with that. And part of that we're introducing this year is a lighter weight wildfire kit, which actually helps crews to stay just that little bit cooler when we're working at these type of instances. But they are incredibly arduous, hard work for our firefighters.
Kent Online reports.
Kent retailers are welcoming a government ban on disposable vapes, which has come into force. Under new rules, it's now illegal for businesses to supply any single-use devices, including those which are nicotine-free. Well, I've been chatting to Mike Cameron, who's the co-founder of Smoko in Tunbridge Wells. I asked whether or not the changes brought in will make a difference.
Long term, I do think it will have an impact, and it will shift where the vape industry was going. It's gone on this like little deviation for quite some time, and hopefully this brings it back to what the e-cigarettes and vapes were designed to do, which is to help adult smokers to quit smoking cigarettes. Now, there are going to be some teething problems with this. The first one is educating the retailers. What is the difference between a disposable and a non-disposable vape? As well, educating those retailers, what are legal vapes and what are illegal vapes? So, you know, there's a huge issue right now with illegal vapes being sold already. Things that have, 20,000 puffs, super high nicotine strengths, and those sort of things, all of which are completely illegal. But there's a lot of unscrupulous retailers who are only worried about the profit and the bottom line. They're not worried about what they're selling or who they're selling it to.
Obviously, those projects that are going on in Kent are working really hard towards the education side of it. But do you think perhaps those who are caught breaking the law, perhaps tougher sanctions need to be put in place for those that are found after it may be 6 months or a year after the ban has come in? Do you think there need to be tougher sanctions for them?
Yeah, Nicola, that's a really great question. And I do take my hat off to the people in the trading standards and at Border Force as well, because, stopping people or stopping the product coming into the market in the first place is such a big part of that chain. I think the second part is identifying those wholesalers and distributors who are taking it from the ports. Then they are selling it into their networks of independent retailers or even into barbershops and nail bars and things like that, where, you know, vapes are being sold for whatever reason it is. So I think there's those two elements of the chain are really important. But certainly on the front line, with the trading standards officers going out, they need a much bigger stick. The fines need to be a lot harsher. I believe in Scotland, the fines are up to like £10,000 as a minimum. Here in England, it's going to be £200. So, you know, for a independent convenience store who's been selling to teenagers for, you know, whatever the last couple of years, £200 to them for a fine is nothing. They'll make that back in an afternoon. So the fines definitely need to be harsher. And it should go up the chain a little bit as well to the person who owns the company or owns that business, to the point where they, you know, look at, you know, prison sentence or being struck off so they can't actually run a company in the UK anymore.
Well, Kent Trading Standards have been contacting hundreds of businesses to make sure they're aware of the legislation. Operations manager James Widdett has been setting out the changes.
The changes are that the new products will have to be rechargeable. So they'll have to have like a charging point on them. The tank must be refillable, and also the coil and wadding must be replaceable. So for those people who aren't quite aware, they're the three things that you need to look out for. Is that going to deter younger people from doing it because there's other things you've got to do with the product? It might do, but this legislation is mainly driven at the environmental side of things. And there's other legislation coming later in the year that the government's currently working on that will then deal with some of the other issues around vaping, around the, you know, the packaging and the flavourings and things like that.
When there is a change in legislation like that, how tricky is it for your team to make sure that shops aren't still selling these products? That sounds like quite a huge job.
So in connection with local businesses, we've got a vape team who've been going out and about. So the visits they've been conducting up until very recently have always been advising businesses of the change on that's coming through on the 1st of June. We've done mail shops, we've done letters to those people who haven't got emails, and we've contacted, I think it's well over 1,000 premises in the county, advising them of those changes in legislation. We've got a web page on our website, which provides information for consumers and for businesses to look at. So we're trying to provide as much information as we can so that businesses can make the right decision. Nobody wants a genuine product at the end of May that becomes illegal on the 1st of June, and they could then, you know, under the legislation, commit a criminal offence for possessing and supplying that. So that's what we're trying to do, is get the retailers responsible, aware of their product, aware of the change, so they can make the right decisions for their business now. And the LVA helps that. So, you know, where we've been dealing with that in Tunbridge Wells, that's been part of our core messaging, to try and assist those retailers in making those right decisions to, you know, be responsible retailers.
There's loads of different studies going on about health impacts of vapes. But I mean, from an environmental point of view, we all know that dumping plastic is a bad thing. So that's going to be hugely important, isn't it, that we don't get these bits of plastic on the floor?
Yeah, and that's one of the key drivers, obviously, for this legislation, is to reduce the impact of that disposable type product. So obviously, if you can extend the life of the product that you're using, it's less plastic, it's less harmful, which is much better for the environment. And it's also better for consumers because in theory, it's going to reduce the cost. So if the products are slightly more expensive in the initial purchase, actually, if you can then top it up or recharge it, so you can extend its life, that's better for you as a consumer as well.
A charity set up in memory of a Kent teenager has gifted £5,000 to a nurse so she can do a degree in counselling, coaching and mentoring. 13-year-old Evie Dove from Worth near Sandwich passed away in 2022 from a brain tumour. The foundation in her name aims to help sick children by sponsoring the education and training of clinical professionals. A Maidstone woman who died a month after undergoing weight loss surgery has been described as the funniest best friend with the biggest heart. Julie Folds was found in her bed after failing to turn up for a dialysis appointment in April. An inquest into the 44-year-old's death is currently taking place.
Kent Online News.
Now, it's been revealed the cost of last year's elections for Kent's police and crime commissioner cost taxpayers 88,000. £1,000. With voter turnout lower than previous years, it means the cost was £11.62 per vote. And it's called into question whether or not people think the role, which is currently held by Matthew Scott, is worth the money. Well, firstly, let's hear from some shoppers in Maidstone.
Do you know who this guy is right here?
I don't. No.
If I said he was a politician here in Kent, would that ring any bells?
No, I've never seen him.
Unfortunately not. Has he just escaped?
Well, it's someone on the television, isn't it, that interviews, that's all I know.
Politician.
Politician. Any idea who he is, what he does?
No, I can't remember what his name is.
He's the Police and Crime Commissioner. Do you know what the Police and Crime Commissioner role does here in Kent?
Not a lot.
And now we can hear from the man himself. Here's Matthew Scott.
There are obviously ways in which maybe the cost of the election could be reduced. I've always argued that elections should be held on the same day wherever possible. I said that after the extension of the last term of PCCs, that the term should be realigned with the county council elections. Then the more elections you run on the same day, the savings that you can make in doing so. Yes, we're in the fourth term of PCCs, but actually, it's still a challenge to make sure that there is that recognition. We work really hard on that by doing street stalls, by doing public engagements, going out on the beat.
Next up, we've been getting the view of Stuart Jeffrey, who's the leader of Maidstone Council.
Elections are expensive things to run. And what we've seen over many years is a sort of falling turnout and a disaffection with politics, which I think is sort of underlying a key aspect of what we need to try and change in terms of getting voters engaged, getting people wanting to elect the right people to office.
They were all chatting to Ollie Leader from the Local Democracy Reporting Service. You can also watch a video report on that story and let us know what you think by heading to the website. Plans for a new development at the site of a former arcade in Herne Bay have finally been approved. Neptune's Amusements on Central Parade was knocked down 2 years ago. A five-storey building is going to go up in its place, with shops on the ground floor and flats above. Bosses at a nightclub in Margate have had their application for a full premises licence rejected. Fusion has been operating in the basement of a building in Cliff Terrace on a temporary basis, but neighbours have complained about the noise. A council committee turned down the application following concerns about fire safety measures. Meantime, plans to turn a former art college building in Rochester into housing are expected to be given the go-ahead. The University for the Creative Arts campus on Fort Pitt Hill has been empty since 2023. Developers want to spend £20 million creating new flats and houses. A meeting will be held on Wednesday to discuss the application. And bosses in Maidstone say they're confident building work will start on the site of a former Royal Mail sorting office next summer. Plans for 180 properties on Sandling Road were approved last October, and the old building's already been demolished. It's currently surrounded by hoardings as the authority chooses a developer. And this is one of our most read stories today. A trainee teacher has saved a cafe from closing down by buying it himself. Jonathan Burton made the decision 2 days before a tea room near Sittingbourne was due to shut. The business on Milton Regis High Street has been renamed JB's Coffee and Tea House.
Kent Online Sports.
Football first up, and there's been mixed reaction to Gillingham's decision to scrap their traditional matchday programmes. The club say they've chosen to stop publication because sales have dropped and it no longer makes financial sense. Some fans say they're killing the true traditions of the game. You can let us know what you think by commenting on the story within the sports section at Kent Online. Meantime, Gillingham have been given permission to create a new fan zone at Priestfield Stadium. The old leisure centre in the car park is going to be knocked down to make space for more food, drink and entertainment. The area could also be used to screen England games during international tournaments. And in cricket, Kent got their T20 Blast season off to a winning start on Friday night. They beat reigning champions Gloucestershire by 4 runs in Bristol. Daniel Bell Drummond top scored with 60. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to the website. And whilst you're on Kent Online, you can also sign up to the premium version of the website, which gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. If you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.